All right, hello and welcome back to an episode of A Bunch of Nuts. I'm Dan, I'm here with Big Cass. Today is going to be, we're going to talk about the Heisman Trophy presentation, basically how Haskins was mistreated the whole time. We're going to have a little award show, and that's basically it. But Big Cass, man, it's good to be here today, and Haskins was just totally disrespected.
Yeah, I've never seen any other Heisman finalist be put on the back burner as much as we saw Dwayne Haskins this whole week, this whole ceremony. My good buddy AP, who was in my wedding, big Penn State fan, him and I were talking about yesterday before the ceremony, and he was stating, you know, as much as the disrespect, he's like, I was all for Kyler Murray all season long. Before we get into this, congratulations, Kyler Murray. What an outstanding season. And honestly, any of these three guys could have won. And, you know, they're all three class acts. Am I right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think Kyler Murray, I'm fine with Kyler Murray winning. I truly am, because if you look at the stats, at least his were comparable to Haskins. The only thing about Kyler Murray that I'm a little confused about is I think he could potentially be a system quarterback. And what I mean about this is not saying he's not a freak athlete. He's a freak athlete. But you saw what Baker Mayfield did in Lincoln Riley's system last year. You see what Kyler Murray's doing. Do you think these stats are a little inflated because, you know, Lincoln Riley is a really good developer of these players and the fact that they play in the Big 12? So I think maybe that if you put Kyler on Ohio State or Alabama, he wouldn't have as good of stats. He'd still be a good player. He's a great college quarterback, but I don't know if he would be a Heisman winner.
Yeah, I think if he was on Ohio State, he would be Braxton Miller all over. Honestly.
Still a great player, though.
Yeah, still a great player. Still fans. You won the Heisman Trophy. I mean, you know. But going back to my conversation with Aaron Pearson, AP, we had him on the show. He's a big Penn State guy, and we're talking about, and he's like, you know, it saddens me on how much Haskins would put on the back burner. I told him, I was like, he's like that friend that hangs out with you and your wife or girlfriend, and that's how Haskins is feeling right now. This was yesterday. He's like, no, more like when you and a group of friends go to the club, and all the girls are going to your two buddies but you.
Dude, yeah, I feel bad for Haskins, too, because before on, I believe it was Friday when he left for New York, he got like a 6 a.m. flight, and ABC went to go interview him at the airport, and the poor guy just looked so tired. He looked like he just didn't want to be at this interview. Obviously answered all the questions like a class act, but he's there with his girlfriend. His girlfriend has a pillow. Just the dude looked so tired. I just felt bad for Haskins. I really did. I feel like it was kind of a waste of time. I hope he had a nice steak dinner, though. I really did. I hope he went to like a buffet at the Heisman thing and cleaned them dry.
Yeah, I think that he created a bond with Kyler Murray and Tua, despite the fact that he was on a back burner, and I don't care what anybody else says, he was. I mean, he was. If you watched the whole ESPN game day, or even the day before, after, you know, the 11 o'clock Sports Center with Scott Van Pelt, and there was a 10-minute segment on Tua. There was a 10-minute segment on Kyler Murray, and there was no segment on Dwayne Haskins. So it basically all started Friday night.
It honestly started Friday afternoon, because ESPN... ESPN posted a video, and it was like something about Tua and Kyler's stats are astounding, and it was like it wasn't even talking about, like, you know, touchdown passes or yards. ESPN went as far up to make like it was like adjusted QBR, which is like, all right, you guys are just looking for stats at this point to just discredit Haskins. Like what is adjusted QBR? You guys literally just made up a metric and just basically said, oh, Haskins doesn't fit this metric, so we could just say, oh, these two candidates are better. It's ridiculous.
Right. And actually, I take that back. I meant to say it all started Thursday night. because it was during the show where right after the college football awards, and it was the show where they had Tyler Trent on there talking to Scott Van Pelt about the Maryland game where Scott Van Pelt had lost the bet, and eventually last night he had to wear the P on his head, but it all started, I think, Thursday night, and I'm sorry, after the college football awards where Tyler took AP award, Tua took Davey O'Brien, and all that stuff, and boy, Tua could barely walk during those awards, by the way, and I think it started then, and then went into First Take, and I don't really watch First Take as one. I'm at work, and it's while it's on, and I don't get to see it, but I was watching it, and then Max Keller and Stephen A. Smith were talking to Tim Tebow. The only time Haskins got mentioned is when they were talking about Urban Meyer's retirement. And then they asked Tim Tebow about Tua and Kyler right after they were talking about Urban Meyer's retirement. And I'm thinking, okay, that happened Tuesday. This is now Friday. We all know Urban Meyer retired. Okay? Why are you asking Tim? I know Tim Tebow and Urban are such great friends. We get it. You know. But why are you asking a Heisman Trophy winner about Urban Meyer and not about Dwayne Haskins? And then you're going to ask him about the two other candidates and then leave Dwayne Haskins out.
I mean, yeah. The three things... They didn't even talk about Haskins' performance, really. The three things they would bring up with Haskins is either Urban Meyer retiring, the off-the-field drama with Zach Smith, or about Haskins going pro. They really didn't credit his season at all.
Yeah, or what was your feeling, and like what did you and Urban talk about when you retired? When he talked, told you he was retiring, that was complete BS. And I have to give a shout out to the only two people in the media this week talking about Dwayne Haskins. And Joel Klatt last night said, you know, basically I watched his little huddle thing. Basically he admitted, he's like, yeah, it was wrong for ESPN to do it. Do you think it was their agenda to totally do it? Completely put Haskins on the back burner? Probably not. He's like, that's not on the college game maker. You can't blame the college game maker. That is the producers who did that.
Yeah.
And the fact that, and then Mike Greenberg basically said on Get Up AM, said when Bobby Carpenter was on there, and Bobby said Dwayne Haskins has the number and should win it, but he's like, I've got to go with Kyler Murray because, you know, just, you know, I forget what all he said. And Mike Greenberg came out and said that Dwayne Haskins is having the most underappreciated season in college football history.
I agree. I couldn't agree more, Big Cass. And it's just like, I'm going through this. I'm looking at what Mike Greenberg said. He said, I don't like the way the Heisman is decided at all. The fact so many vote before the final games is farcical. But it's a great award nonetheless, and while he won't, I believe Dwayne Haskins deserves to win it this year. Hashtag Ohio State. And the crazy thing is, too, Big Cass, 10% of the voters voted before the championship games, the conference championship games. So that's literally like voting in a presidential election before the primaries are decided. Like, you don't know, you don't have all the information. Why would you make a decision? It's just like, it just doesn't make any sense.
That goes to tell you right there that those 10% of voters, the conference championships didn't matter to them.
It doesn't matter to the committee either, the playoff committee apparently.
Mike Greenberg said what I repeated was on the show Friday morning, and what you repeated was his tweet, courtesy to Mike Greenberg, ESPN, and then Joel Klatt, Fox Sports, talking about everything. So, courtesy to those guys. And then, let's go talk about College Game Day.
Oh, Oh my god!
You watched it. I didn't, but I was following it on Twitter, like, you know, like I always do. And I sent you the host of College Game Day,
Reese Davis,
who I think we both at one point had respect for him, but I think we both totally lost the respect.
Yeah, I mean. Someone tweeted at Kirk Herb. Let me take it from the top. It all started. They were doing the Army Navy game preview, and it was cool and all. Like Army Navy, it's a good game. I wish they had more games this weekend, but that's another story. And they did a spotlight on the Heisman candidates. Except they forgot all three candidates. They forgot Haskins. They had Tua and Kyler, and they kept Haskins out of it. And, you know, everyone, all the Ohio State fans obviously made an uproar about it. And Kirk Herbstreit responded to one of the fans on Twitter and was basically saying, like, yeah, I understand your point. I don't know why that happened, like, but it's all right. And then Reese Davis,
basically admitting that the program director and the producer of Game Day screwed up.
Yeah. Basically, and then Reese Davis comes on and says, hold on, let me find his exact wording, because here it is. Let me take a swing, he says. It's not intended as a slight. I'll bet if you time the words, Dwayne got more coverage. Plus, three at the same time is an unwieldy interview. Two is max. They are playing each other. They're likely 1-2. Simple as that. Never cease to marvel at what bothers people. And just like, it's just hilarious because the dude literally is great at hosting a show with more than three people on the stage at the same time. So how is it that hard to, you know, make the camera angle a little wider?
And not just the camera angle, you can split screen things. It's 2018, it's not 1996 when College Game Day first started. I get the fact that Kyler and Tua are playing each other. I get the fact that they were most likely the number one and number two guys. But the fact that, and you can see it on Dwayne's face all day long.
Yeah, he just looked like he didn't want to be there.
And you know what? He tweeted out, "I miss my teammates."
I mean, and his teammates too. A lot of them spoke out about Dwayne being mistreated. Well, like Tate Martell had his back. I think Taraja Mitchell said something.
That goes to show you about the brotherhood that Urban Meyer teams had. Because if you go back, and I'm looking, you know, for some reason, I don't know why, but I've been looking at a 2015 Ohio State program. When they play in Hawaii, it has Braxton, JT, and Cardale on the front of it. And the fact that those three guys backed each other up tells you the brotherhood, especially, like, Tate Martell is Haskins' backup. Tate Martell was put on the back burner for Ohio State, if you want to look at it, because he's a typical Urban Meyer-style quarterback. Am I right?
Yeah. He's going to be a good player, though. He's going to be, like, I think, a Braxton Miller-type player.
Tate Martell could have took the high road and couldn't have done anything about the guy that has outbeaten him as a starting quarterback. Some backups, you know, like some backup quarterbacks don't even care. But the fact that Tate Martell and Dwayne Haskins are that close for a backup quarterback to stick up for his older brother, basically, you know what I mean?
Well, I mean, speaking of backup quarterbacks, Big Cass, you know who was at Ohio State this week? Joe Burrow.
Yeah.
Yeah, Joe Burrow was back. And I think, I mean, if you're talking about
defending national champions, I mean.
Yeah, I mean, he should be preparing for that UCF game. But, you know, he was back visiting the Ohio State locker room. And, I mean, most players, when they transfer, they don't go back to that school. But Joe Burrow came back to see all his teammates and friends, and I think that is a real testament to basically what Urban Meyer has created in that locker room.
And that goes to the testament of why Draymond Jones, Tarada Mitchell, Tate Martell, Mike Weber, all those guys tweeted about.
Absolutely. It's crazy just how disrespected Haskins was. I hope he had. I mean, I'm sure he had a good time. I'm sure it was.
So check us out on Twitter. I had a bunch of nuts. You know, like last night, I created the graphic. As you know, as passionate as a Buckeye fan as I am, I felt it's weird. You feel the pain for Urban Meyer. You feel the pain of Dwayne Haskins. The fact that in July, heading into, we were predicting that this team, I was predicting that this team could go undefeated, get into the playoffs, and get ready to be facing, in my opinion, Notre Dame, Clemson right now. The fact that there should be four undefeated teams in this playoffs this year, you know, one of them being Ohio State, and I think we would have got the third spot because of the strength of schedule, or the two spot. But the pain of the 2018 season, the fact that the way people has put Ohio State down and disrespected Ohio State, you would think that we went 8-4 or 6-6.
You would. I mean, it's still been a very successful season, and I feel like any other year we'd be like the 2 or 3 seed, even with the one loss.
Yeah, that's going into our next segment. React going to the Rose Bowl. You know, I had to, you know, think in my mind, how do I go from talking about Dwayne Haskins being disrespected? Now, don't get me wrong, the Rose Bowl is a great, it's the granddaddy of them all. If you don't get to the playoffs, you want to get to the Rose Bowl, in my opinion. And
yeah,
I felt like we got shafted a little bit, but we also did it to ourselves. We lost by 29 to Purdue. And honestly, that was Purdue's best game since Drew Brees was there.
It was. I mean, it was. They had a blackout. Everyone was pulling for Tyler Trent, Rondale Moore, and DJ Knox just tore us apart in the secondary. I mean, it was definitely, you know, like a full moon. Just everything came together for Purdue. Good for them. But I don't think that was a. I think that game was almost like an aberration, because I feel like Ohio State would probably win 10 out of 8 times. I mean, 8 out of 10, not 10 out of 8, 8 out of 10. And I mean, Purdue's definitely on the rise. I think they might be like an 8-win team, 9-win team next year. But they had everything going for them that night.
Yeah, and kudos to them for taking advantage of the slate for Ohio State team. That was the week that Nick Bosa decided to leave the team, and talking with, you know, several former players, you know, that's what derailed this football team, is with Nick Bosa. They had to figure out who their leader was, and it's a beating. And honestly, and I know we'll get into this award show and I later on, our awards, but honestly, you know, I will tell you who my team MVP is, even though we didn't even put that on our list, and we forgot. But we saw some guys step up, and that's when Dwayne Haskins and this offense started getting going. The defense got a lot better, and I think, and a lot of people said nobody wants to play Georgia right now. I don't think anybody wants to play Ohio State right now.
Agree. I mean, I'm not afraid of Georgia. I think Ohio State would destroy Georgia, because their offense doesn't really scare me, because they're more of a power running game offense, because they're not going to, like, tear you apart. Jake Fromm's not going to tear you apart. They have the best cornerback in all college football, and that's great, except Ohio State has, like, 7 good receivers.
Yeah, and the thing, too, is like, Joel Klatt said last night in that 10-minute video, I'm going to have to find it and then share it on the Bunch of Nuts Facebook page, so go check that out, folks. He talks about, you know, Ohio State fans, you know, how they felt disrespected. Talks about how Dwayne Haskins in the final 3 games, and he said, final 4 if you want to count Michigan State. He said the defensive coordinators threw everything in the books at Dwayne Haskins. He completely shredded. And I think that goes kudos to the offensive line. They played a lot better the final 4 games. The running back, when we finally got that running game going, it really made Haskins a lot better. And it you know, kudos to Johnny Dixon, Ben Victor, who I think struggled a little bit this year, Chris Olave, you know, Paris Campbell, KJ Hill, all of the guys stepping up, Rashad Berry, Luke Farrell had a nice season.
Terry McLaurin.
So those guys, that deep, and nobody wants to play that offense. And I think nobody wants to play our defense. I think the Michigan game showed what kind of defense Ohio State has potentially to be. And keep in mind, Ryan Day, I hope he retains, you know, I hope he retains everybody as coaches for the 2019 season, because I saw the potential in this defense and how good they could be, even without a Nick Bosa. And you think about it, the only three guys that we're going to probably lose is Jordan Fuller.
Draymond Jones.
When I'm talking about stars.
Oh, okay.
Stars, like, we're going to lose Jordan Fuller, who I think is a stud, who got shafted in the All Big Ten team. Safety, I think, and we're going to lose Draymond Jones and Robert Landers. I think everybody else will be back. Well, Damon Arnett and Kendall Sheffield struggled all season. That's why I didn't really mention them. They're seniors, but we have Sean Wade and Jeffrey Okuda, and then we'll have Isaiah Pryor and Brandon White as defensive backs. I think our defensive backs will be a lot better next year, and I think Alex Grinch will stay. But the Rose Bowl, I mean, I kind of felt like we got shafted a little bit in the college football playoff, but hey, we're going to the Rose Bowl. I feel sorry for Washington because they have to play us.
Washington, they're the Pac-12 champs. They're decent. They were projected to maybe make the playoff in the preseason. A lot of people had them in that 4, 5, 6 range. But just looking at their team's pretty solid. Like, Jake Browning, really good quarterback. Didn't have a great year this year. Only threw like 16 touchdown passes. He is really experienced though, because he's won the Pac-12 twice. He's been to the college football playoff as a starter. They lost to Bama that year. Miles Gaskins, probably one of the best running backs in the country, probably top 10 at least. He's a stud, over 1,000-yard back, everything. And then the wide receivers, Aaron Fuller and Ty Jones, they're capable. Like, they're solid 1-2 punch of receivers. But the one matchup I want to see is this Ohio State offense against this Washington secondary, because Washington usually always produces pretty good cornerbacks and safeties, and Washington has a couple good ones this year, and I want to see how this Ohio State receiving group in Haskins really goes against this secondary, because, you know, I don't think Ohio State's seen a defense like this yet, and I want to see how this receiving core really, really reacts to a team with a good secondary. I know Michigan has the number one defense, but we haven't seen a Pac-12 defense.
Yeah, I think Ohio State will be all right, because if you look at the quality opponents Washington played, they didn't really play anybody. They got trounced by Auburn. Auburn went right down the field and beat them this year. Quality opponents, I mean, Stanford was down this year. Oregon was, I think, highly overrated, and then they finally fell back down to earth. The Pac-12 is very, very, very weak. I'm not really concerned. You're giving Haskins and Ohio State and Ryan Day a month, mm-hmm. month to prepare for this team, and it's Urban's last game.
Yeah.
So I'm not really worried about the matchups. I'm worried about the running back matchup against our defense, and that's the only really place in our, you know, wide receivers against them. I mean, Jake Brown is a good, solid quarterback. He's going to play in the NFL, in my opinion. It should be a good matchup. It should be fun, but I don't think we'll have a problem. But that's right now. Talk to me here in about a few weeks when the game gets closer and I start worrying a little bit more.
The one thing, too, about Washington is, I mean, their secondary is good, but the one game I think we had a really good chance to scout them out against Washington State, because they're an air raid offense and everything, it was snowing and, like, raining that day in Pullman. So, obviously, that's going to play towards the defense's advantage, because you really can't run an offense like that in that type of weather. So, It remains to be seen how good that secondary is, but I think it's going to be probably at least the third best defense we've seen all year behind. Obviously Michigan won. TCU, by every metric, is the second best defense Ohio State's played. I know TCU's record doesn't really say that, but TCU going into that game was actually a lot better than what people give Ohio State credit for.
Injuries deflated that football team, too.
Yeah.
So, all right, speaking of bowl games, I wanted to play this game with Dan last week, but I couldn't think of the bowl games top of my head, so I got time to sit down and come up with some bowl games. So I have five bowl games that one is the right one and the other one is not. And we're going to start with the first one. Dan, are you ready for this?
Yeah, okay. So what are the rules here?
You just have to, basically, the rule is you have to guess which one. And there's five of them, so...
Oh, okay, gotcha. So you're going to give me two, and I have to guess which one's right?
Yes.
Gotcha, okay.
And eventually, one, because this is the first, like, this will be, we're going to start, you know, playing some games. Not every episode, but maybe, have some games, like, where, like, I'm stumping Dan this time, but the next game we play, Dan could be stumping me, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, the first one, Camping World or the Bass Pro Shop Bowl?
Oh, okay. Crud. I didn't think it was going to be this hard. You, because, all right, I know UCF, they have, like, the Camping World Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like I got to go with the Bass Pro Shops one.
Well, you're wrong. You didn't win with Camping World. The Camping World Bowl is in Orlando, Florida at UCF Stadium.
Oh, no.
December 28th. West Virginia versus Syracuse, and by the way, there's big news coming out of that game. Heisman, who finished fourth in the Heisman race, Will Greer will not play in that game against Syracuse, so Syracuse will probably win by 40.
Yeah, Syracuse is going to put up a lot of points then.
Yes. All right, number two, the Family Dollar or the Dollar General Bowl?
Dollar General.
Yeah, you're right. This game is played in Mobile, Alabama, between Buffalo and Troy, December 22nd.
I feel like Alabama would totally have a bowl name after a dollar store. That's just...
Well, that's where Dollar General headquarters are from.
Yeah, that just feels right to me. I don't know why, if it's in Alabama.
All right. Frisco Bowl or the El Paso Bowl?
The Frisco. Has to be the Frisco, right?
Yeah, you were right. The Frisco Bowl in Frisco, Texas. The OU Bobcats. I had to put this on there because OU was, and I figured you'd get it right. But, you never know. Texas has, let's find a small, beautiful city in Texas and give it a bowl game. That's what their logic is. The OU Bobcats will play San Diego State in December 28th, and what should be a fantastic matchup, in my opinion.
Yeah, I'll probably definitely watch that. Do you know what time it is?
I don't know.
I mean, it's the day before. It's a Friday, so it's because
probably like 2 p.m. or something like that.
Yeah, you know what? It's fine for me. If football's on, I'm not complaining.
All right, Motor City Bowl or Quick Lane Bowl?
I feel like they've had the Motor City Bowl before. I feel like that has some MAC schools in it, so I'm gonna go with Motor City.
Well, you are partially right, but it is the Quick Lane Bowl. This is a dumb one. This was one where, the Motor City Bowl, yeah, hands down. But they switched the name of it 2 years ago, and it's now the Quick Lane Bowl in Detroit. December 26th, and it's now Big 12 versus ACC, Minnesota versus Georgia Tech.
Wait, Big 12, Big 10 versus ACC?
Yes.
Okay, Minnesota versus who, Georgia Tech?
Yes.
That's going to be an interesting game. Is Georgia Tech still going to be running the triple option is the question.
In that game, yes, they probably will.
Because no, because didn't the Paul Johnson retire? So is did the new coach take over yet?
He's retiring after this game.
Oh, okay. So if you want to watch the triple option one last time,
just watch Army and Navy.
Oh, don't get me. That game was so boring.
All right, man. You've got two right and you've got two wrong.
All right.
This is the winning. Bowl game. Red Fox Bowl or the Cinemark Bowl?
Hold on. It's the Red Box or the Cinemark?
Yes.
Question, what is Cinemark?
It's a movie theater. It's one of the big ones.
Okay. I'm trying to think of this like, this is tough, because here's my logic here. I've heard of Redbox. They're a pretty big company. I've never, ever heard of Cinemark. I'm an AMC guy, or a Lowe's theater. So I'm going to go with Redbox.
You are right, sir.
Yes. I had no idea what Cinemark was. I'm like, there's no way they can afford advertising for a bowl game. No way.
The Red Box Bowl in Santa Clara, California, December 31st, Michigan State versus Oregon.
That's a nice one. That's Battle of the Green.
Yeah. By the way, I was going to add one, but there's also the Cheez-It Bowl. Is a bowl game now, and you passed three out of five, and you only got two wrong. I mean.
That was way tougher than I expected, man. Like, that was, like, actually pretty hard.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like Camping World and Bass Pro Shops could both have a bowl game.
Yeah. Absolutely. I thought, you know what? I honestly thought they both did.
Yeah.
And I thought the Motor City Bowl and the, what was it? The Motor City and the Quick Lanes. I thought those were two different things, too. Like, I thought they both were bowl games already. So I'm like, I thought they both were bowl. So, like, that was pretty hard, though. You really stumped me.
Yeah. But you got three out of two, and it's a fun game, and we like doing it, so.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So I guess moving on.
Love it or see it.
Yeah, let's do it. So, what'd you love to see this week?
Well, the fact. Oh man, there's quite a few things. I mean, I did love to see that Haskins didn't make it as a Heisman finalist. But I didn't want to say that, you know. You know, I'll go with that. I mean, that was basically my love to see this week. The fact that, you know, Haskins got invited to New York. I didn't like the way he got treated, but it is what it is. When you're getting invited to New York and you're a finalist for the Heisman Trophy, that's something special.
Yeah, it was exciting waiting for them to announce when he was getting invited. What was it, on Monday or Tuesday? When it came out around like 7 p.m., that was a little exciting.
Oh, and I also love to see that Ryan Day removed the interim tag off of Brian Hart. He's now the full-time wide receivers coach.
That was a no-brainer in my opinion. I think he's a really good coach, though. I mean, the receivers this year have actually been probably some of the best receivers, the best receiver unit, I think, in Ohio State history.
I mean, they were absolutely better. I don't know, man. When Hartline played, you had Rubisky, Hartline, Ted Ginn, Santonio Holmes, and Anthony Gonzalez. That was a great receiver class.
True.
And then also when Santonio Holmes left too, that was with Rubisky and Hartline, Ted Ginn. Wow. Next, you know what? We won't have a lot to talk about when football, but let's. Next week, let's break down the 2006 wide receiver class with Rubisky, Ted Ginn, Anthony Gonzalez, and Brian Hartline, and compare it to Terry McLaurin, Paris Campbell, Johnny Dixon, and all them guys. So that'll be a nice little segment next week.
Absolutely, Big Cass. My love to see it this week was The Columbus Crew they're officially getting a new stadium. It's going to go right by where Huntington Park is in the Arena District, like that vacant lot over there. Man, it is gorgeous. It is going to be like the crown jewel of Columbus, other than the Shoe. It's going to be right on the banks of the Olentangy. I still can't pronounce that right. I don't know why, but it's going to be awesome, man. It's also not going to be just used for soccer. It's going to be used for concerts and potentially, maybe, if we're lucky, an XFL team.
Yeah, it looks gorgeous. Still kind of concerned on how it's going to fit, but I mean, I'm sure they'll figure it out and the architects will figure it out. You still got the Blue Jackets right there. My biggest concern is come May or June, when the NHL playoffs are in full swing, minor league baseball is in full swing, and major league soccer is in full swing. Imagine if all three of them teams had a game. It's already a pain in the ass as it is to get out of there for a Clippers game, let alone adding a hockey and a soccer game at the same time. I mean, High Street's already got construction everywhere, so it'd be quite interesting to see how the traffic is going to work. It might take you an hour or 2 hours to get out of there. The advantage that Monterey Stadium has over this is you can basically hop right on the highway, right on 71, and you're good. But to keep the Columbus Crew here is outstanding to bring revenue because Columbus is the sixth highest growing city in America. So good for downtown Columbus. You know, I might catch a game. I've never caught a Crew game. I might catch one.
Oh, dude, they're so much fun. Like, you don't even have to know soccer. You just have to be, like, a rowdy fan. But that's my love to see it. My hate to see it, Big Cass, this week is there's really no football. Like, I know there's the Army-Navy game, but I'm not – like, I enjoy watching the game. It's, like, decent football, but it's a good rivalry. But the one thing I just don't like about the Army-Navy game is because they don't pass enough that the game goes too quick.
Yeah, I agree. You don't like FCS playoffs?
I mean, I'm not going to lie. The best game I watched yesterday was the last, like, 5 minutes of UC Davis versus Eastern Washington. That was a really good game, actually. I enjoyed that. I flipped on the North Dakota State versus Colgate game, and that just looked like North Dakota State was just going to destroy them the whole time. I don't mind the FCS playoffs, but I wish they threw in one more. I wish they threw in, like, a good night game.
All right. Is it time for North Dakota State to join the FBS?
I think so. I think they should join, like, the Big 12 or something.
Just for starters. For starters.
Yeah.
Mountain West.
Yeah, I guess Mountain West. Move that North.
Boise State jumped right in. Into it.
Yeah, Mountain West.
North Dakota State has proven that they can beat Iowa, which is crazy. They beat Iowa beat us. It doesn't make no sense. I mean,
does that mean they can beat us?
No, they can't. But players like Carson Wentz, who went number one overall. I mean, it's time for them to take the money and join the big boys, and I think they would do well. Boise State has done fantastic.
Yeah, no, I mean, and their stadium's pretty cool, the Fargo Dome. Like,
yeah.
It's a place, the Fargo Dome, that I'll never ever visit, but I do want, I wish I could go to a game there, but then I realize I'm never ever going to go there, but it looks like a cool place to watch a game at.
I think I'd go early in the season where it's not cold.
Yeah, I'm just curious how it is out there, because I've never been to North Dakota, don't really know much about it, but it looks like an interesting place.
Yeah.
But, all right, what's your hate to see it?
My hate to see it is I spent my hard-earned money to go to Cincinnati to watch Philip Lindsay run all over my deflated Bengals defense. last week. That's one of my hate to see it. But I would have to say that, like, of all the games I've been to, the Denver fans have been really cool. We're really cool. So hats off to the Denver Broncos fans. That's probably my hate to see it, that I spent my hard-earned money to watch the Bengals, who basically, it was a great game for 3 quarters, 2.5 quarters, until Jeff Lindsay just went off from mid-third quarter on.
Phillip Lindsay's a stud. He's like the next Terrell Davis, but he's just like a small version of him. But Big Cass, the last time I went to a Bengals game, it was like 2 years ago in September for my birthday. Got tickets, and I'll never forget. Bengals fans are great, by the way. But there's this one, I was wearing a John Elway like shirt, and there's this really drunk Bengals fan outside the stadium, like right at the gate, and he's holding like a Coors Light in hand, really drunk, like trying to walk through security with a beer. And he's just yelling at everyone, and he sees me, he goes, "You don't even know who John Elway is." And I'm like, oh my God. And then another Bengals fan turns to me and like pats me on the back. He's like, "It's okay, son. Don't let anyone ever tell you that. You know who John Elway is." Like, I found it hilarious because it was just like, this guy is belligerent, but like all the other Bengals fans were like trying to genuinely cared for like my well being, and I was like, "It's fine. I know who John Elway is. I'm really not offended." It was a good time though.
We went to the game as in a protest for Mike Brown. Hey, it's time to fire Marvin Lewis.
It is. And Hugh Jackson. You can't keep him either.
No, if they hire him as a head coach, I'm gonna be pretty mad.
Yeah, I feel bad for the Bengals because like they have the talent. They honestly have a pretty good roster. They just need to get a coach.
Right. Well, basically we already talked about, like, with bashing the SEC, we already talked about, you know, the SEC, ESPN, you know, Joe Burrow coming back to Ohio State.
Yeah.
So we really need to bash the SEC other than, you know, how did Jerry Judy, who sounds like Judge Judy's kid, Wentzkoff work? But, I mean, it is what it is. So we could just jump right into what that team up north is doing, other than being 10-0 in college basketball.
They're a house, and they are literally like a powerhouse in college basketball now. I don't know when this all of a sudden like changed, where Michigan is suddenly like one of the top programs in the country, but they are now. So that is interesting, to say the least.
Yeah, I mean, Jim, whatever his name is,
Beeline.
John Beilein has done a fantastic job with Barry. He's a fantastic coach. Can't wait till he retires, because I think Michigan basketball will be deflated after that.
Like, the one thing that I'm kind of angered about it, but it's weird. Michigan basketball, I don't hate them, and it angers me, because John Beilein is such a likable guy that, like, I feel like I should want to, like, punch him in the face, like, when I see Harbaugh. But I don't. I'm just like, oh, this guy seems like a nice guy, runs a decent program, doesn't really mouth off or anything. Like,
I still hate him.
What bothers me is I think Ohio State doesn't play Michigan at home this year again.
No, that bothers me too.
It's a second straight year. Why do they keep getting us?
We played them at home last year. We beat them by 20.
Oh, we did. Yeah, we did. We beat
them early December, like. You know, it was early December, like we did this year with Illinois and Minnesota, which we trounced both those teams, by the way. And now we get a break. But, like, we beat them by 20 last year. Now we play Michigan once at Michigan. How fair is that? It's our biggest rival. Like, every single sport Ohio State is in, if they play Michigan, like, students show up. Like, it may be, like, their biggest game, like for field hockey. If we're playing women's field hockey against Michigan, students will show up just to smack talk a women's field hockey team.
Absolutely. I remember one time the men's soccer team was playing Michigan for the Big Ten title at home at the soccer field on campus, and it was a packed house, man. There's probably, you know, a couple thousand, probably what, like almost close to 8,000-10,000 people there. It was like a crew game almost.
Yeah. They show out when they play Michigan.
But in other, I guess, Michigan news, they lost 5-star safety Daxton Hill to Alabama.
Yeah, I saw that coming, and I saw that coming, and why not go play for Alabama? And, you know, because, you know, at least you could, you know, Alabama's produced guys like Landon Collins and Minka Fitzpatrick. I granted Michigan's had some great defenses, but they haven't beat Ohio State, and their tough defenses have always been shredded by Ohio State's offenses.
So they lose this 5-star safety. If they don't somehow get Zach Harrison, their recruiting class is, like, in trouble.
I honestly think Ohio State's going to end up with him. I really do. I don't know. I think Harrison's going to see how this team comes together against the Rose Bowl. And I think with as much – if I'm Ryan Day, I'm going to his house right now knocking on the door.
I think the biggest thing with Zach Harrison is he seems like the type of dude who has nothing against Ohio State. Probably loves Ohio State and everything. But since he's from the area, I feel like he's the type of guy who might want to get out of Columbus just because he's been there his whole life. Because some people are like that. Some people don't want to go to college literally right where they've grown up all these years. Like just think with New Jersey kids. Not every New Jersey kid wants to go to Rutgers. I know. I kind of just put Ohio State and Rutgers in the same category, which is not true at all. But I don't know. I can see his point of view where he might not want to come to Ohio State for that reason. Other than that, he should come. I really can't think of any other reason.
We'll see. A couple more months on that. Kudos to Josh Perry's mom snapping that picture of Jim Harbaugh while he's in Columbus.
Oh yeah, and then she was wearing her gold pants. And I saw some Michigan fans being like, "Oh, you carry those around with you just for the heck of it?" And like, they don't understand. It's a tradition when a player wins their first gold pants, they always give it to their mom.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, no.
That means Josh Perry's gold pants, the first one. Harbaugh wasn't even there. Like, pretty hopeless.
That's right, yeah. He wasn't, I'm thinking, no, he only has one pair of pants, I think, when Harbaugh was there in 2015.
2015. Yeah, you're right.
14 was Hoke. That was Hoke's last year because it was the game JT broke his leg. And then, yeah.
Perry in 12. 13 and 14 with
Oak,
and then
15
with.
Yep.
Yeah.
You are absolutely right. All right, Big Cass. It's time to get into our award show.
Yes, it is.
So, we the committee here of me and Big Cass have come up with some great awards. I'm going to start from the bottom up, I guess. On the list. So the first two awards, they were voted on by the people. These are for the people, by the people. So exactly. The 2018 Bunch of Nuts Podcast Awards. Here we go. So hit of the year, Big Cass. We had three good nominations. Sean Wade's hit at Michigan.
Rodham Mitchell's kickoff team hit against Penn State.
And Isaiah Prince's block against Tulane. All three of these hits are really good and really funny, in my opinion.
Hey, before we announce the winner of this, didn't Michael Jordan or Demetrius Knox get penalized for having the same block against Michigan?
I don't recall. I'm not sure.
I think he did. Because or one of the guys did knock the dude on the ground and then did the same thing as Isaiah Prince did and didn't and got flagged for it. Yeah. After we won the Michigan game. And then Isaiah Prince didn't even get flagged against Tulane.
And that's not even a dirty hit. That's just called finishing a block.
Yeah, I think that's what it was. I'll have to double check on that and get back to people on that.
I know Michigan fans the week before against Nebraska were complaining that Chase Winovich was hit like that, but it was just a dude finishing a block. It was a good block, but the runaway winner with this category was Sean Wade. The people voted. I think he got like over 80% of the vote. It wasn't even close.
Hats off to Toronto Mitchell in the last 4 minutes of the vote, finally seeing it and retweeting it out when a bunch of guys voting for it. That was pretty cool.
I think he might have done that strategically to try to steal the vote. So if the NFL doesn't work out in the future for Taraja Mitchell, just become a politician, because that was a smart, savvy way to try to rig an election.
Exactly, and you can join the Bunch of Nuts podcast.
Absolutely. So next category is the breakout player of the year. And the three nominees were Chris Olave, Pete Werner, and Brendan White. And I was actually kind of surprised by who ended up winning this, because
I was too.
Pete Werner played the full season and had a really good season on defense. He didn't win.
Struggled a little bit too.
He did struggle, but he also played the whole season. Brendan White played like the last like three games, started the last three games. It was really good too. But the winner was Chris Olave. And I think it really just comes down to him, his performance against Michigan and then in the Big Ten Championship. And you know what? I guess playing big in big games counts.
Exactly, and that's why he won.
Mm-hmm. And he was a runaway vote, too. He was like 70-something percent.
Right.
All right. The next category, Big Cass, is the Anti-Heisman Trophy Award. And we are awarding this to the worst player in all of college football. And I think we know who the winner is here, but I just want to know, do you have any nominations real quick before we throw this guy's name into it?
Wow, no, because I wasn't really paying attention to this award, and the only name I could come up with is the same name that you came up with.
All right, great. All right, yeah. So the anti-Heisman goes to Artur Sitkowski, Rutgers quarterback. And dude, he is so bad. I'm sorry. How is this guy a D1 quarterback? Because let me pull up the stats here. This is so bad. He on the season, 4 touchdown passes, 18 interceptions. They won one game, and he passed for 1,158 yards. And he has been the starter all year. So congrats to Artur Sitkowski, who just honestly a record-breaking season.
This is like winning a Dundee.
It is. I just can't get over 18 interceptions and 4 touchdown passes. How are you throwing the ball?
How is he still the starter?
I'm honest to God. The Army-Navy game yesterday must have had better quarterback play than Rutgers.
I don't know.
Because
the fact that he threw for 1,100 yards is laughable, too.
And hold on. Let me pull up his rushing stats, because there's no way he ran for positive yards either. Like,
he was sacked like 8 times against Ohio State.
Artur Sitkowski's stats, hold on. I'm pulling this up. There's no way he had positive yards. He definitely had like negative like 200 yards rushing. rushing stats. He had negative 66 yards rushing for an average of negative 3 per carry. His long was 12 yards, and he had no rushing touchdowns.
Wow.
Just absolutely electric stuff by Artur.
Yes.
Sorry, I cut you off.
And I pointed this out, and I always thought Rutgers was a Nike school. Until I looked at this, I was like, when did they go to Adidas? Like, did Nike just drop Rutgers and be like, no, you're not making us any money? Mm-hmm. And then they try to go to Under Armour, and they're like, nah, no thanks. So Adidas, was that their last resort or something? I mean, Russell Athletic probably denied them too.
Honestly, Russell Athletic would be perfect for Rutgers because you got the R and their RU or whatever, so like the R would fit nicely on the jersey. I think Russell would be the perfect sponsor.
Well, people get confused that is it a Russell Athletic R or is it Rutgers R? So they might as well just go to Champion or Starter.
Oh God, Champion's like something my dad wears.
Or if you get a Starter, I mean. You get the cool looking starter jackets from the 90s, and then Walmart can carry your jerseys. And
dude, Champion and Starter are like the official apparel of dad's barbecuing everywhere.
Dadware, like I'm going to a Corvette car show.
All right. Next category for the award is Play of the Year, Big Cass. This one was kind of contentious because I just kind of rigged it and said, oh, I'm just going to give it to Ben Victor because his play at Penn State. But you brought up a good point. Chris Olave did have that punt block. So
yeah, I mean, but Ben Victor's touchdown catch was outstanding. You could have thrown in KJ Hill's one-handed catch.
Oh, yeah.
For a touchdown, but, you know, I think if we would actually put a vote for this, it would have either been Chris Olave's blocked punt or Ben Victor's touchdown, so.
My thing was, with this play, I think if it was based off of, I think Ben Victor's play was the perfect mix of, because it was clutch, because we needed that touchdown against Penn State, and it was skill, because it was like a freak catch and then a run, and he didn't go down. Olave, yeah, it was a punt block, but we were winning at the time. And the KJ Hill, I believe we were winning too. So I think this play was the most important one to our season because if Ben Victor doesn't make this play, we probably lose to Penn State.
Right.
So congrats to Ben Victor, play of the year. Unless something happens in the Rose Bowl, then we might have to change it.
Well, it's a regular season, so.
Yeah. All right, the next category I'm really, really excited to give out.
Yeah.
The nut of the year goes to the best fan.
Tennessee Jeff.
Yeah, I mean, there were some nominations. You know, Buckeye guy, you know. But he really did himself in at the funeral by signing those autographs. he really, really, you know, did himself in. We had that fan, that one kid at the Penn State game who just, you know, wore all Ohio State stuff and sat in the Penn State student section and was just yelling, go Bucks. We had the crowd surfing kid at the Michigan game.
And then we had the Notre Dame fan that sat between Michigan and Ohio State fan, and that was pretty cool.
Yeah, but
and that was even, and that game wasn't even an Ohio State-Michigan game. That was at the Penn State game.
Absolutely. But I really think the nut of the year has to go to Tennessee Jeff. It's not even close.
It must be close because week in and week out, how many times did I like screenshot or you screenshot something that Tennessee Jeff did?
Yeah. So let me read you the stats here from Tennessee Jeff. I actually have them. I made stats for this.
You have stats for Tennessee Jeff.
I do. So Tennessee Jeff, this is accomplishments this year. Two podcast appearances, He baked a cake. You forgot he baked the cake for the Ohio State players. Baked the cake. What else? Held a rally. held a rally. Baked a cake. Made two podcast appearances. What else?
Snuck into the shoe every week.
Yeah, snuck into the shoe. And on top of it, he was on a at the Big Ten Championship. He was on TV next to a Michigan fan. Looked like he wanted to fight him.
He also tore up a lawn chair and socks with flip-flops during the Urban Meyer decision.
Yeah, he waited outside for like 10 hours while everyone was inside eating pizza, you know, discussing the future of Ohio State football. He was out there supporting Urban. And then finally there was a video. There was two videos of the Big Ten Championship. And the players are coming out of the tunnel. And it was Tennessee Jeff just slapping Chase Young on the helmet, basically hyping him up. And after the game, when Urban Meyer was walking into the tunnel, he's saying, "You can't effing leave. You're a god here." And it wasn't even him taking the video. It was like NBC or 11 Warriors took the video, and you can hear his voice in the video.
Tennessee Jeff, man, he's the ultimate, like GOAT fan, like crazy fan. He also, like, multiple, I think, five. He had a video, a Facebook Live video.
Wow. Yeah, I don't recommend doing that, but he just – I don't know. I've never seen a fan this dedicated.
I mean, I'm dedicated to Buckeyes. I talk about him every day. That's just who I am. But he puts the nut in the – he just – Tennessee Jeff, man, holds a rally. Waits for the Urban Meyer decision and socks with sandals, Wapa Wing and Buckeye cornerback. But he, like, making special trips to Myrtle, where at his house in Myrtle Beach, like, just to do that. And then he's at every game. He tweeted out, he put on Facebook that he's never flown on a plane. Like, he hates flying on planes, but he doesn't want to drive 2 days to Pasadena, so he's going to suck it up and fly to Pasadena, so I'm sure we'll see him there, like, on TV.
Oh, hold on. I forgot two more accomplishments. He didn't threaten Brett McMurphy, but he posted on Facebook, he's like, "Brett, I'm a very powerful person, I will take you down," or something. So, Brett McMurphy's gotta watch his back. And he did something else. I'm forgetting something.
He was on the Paul Feinbaum show.
He what?
He was on the Paul Feinbaum show, remember?
Oh my gosh. Okay. So yeah. This
runaway winner,
Tennessee Jeff. Congratulations.
He's probably going to be the 2019 runaway winner too.
Probably. So easily, he's like Bama, man. Just going into the next season, ranked one. So we'll see about that. And all right, we got to move on from Tennessee Jeff, but good for him. The Cardale Jones Tweeter of the Year. This goes to obviously the best tweeter. I'm gonna have to give it to Mike Weber, I think.
Yeah, Mike Weber was outstanding. He even tweeted out something yesterday about how this felt, how I stand with this season.
Yeah, Mike Weber. I mean, this was kind of a weird category because I really there's a lot of good tweets this year, but Mike Weber really ran away with this starting Maryland weekend when the whole Zach Smith drama kind of resurfaced about Trevon Grimes, and he tweets, "Hey guys, we got a game against Maryland this week," and then after the game, when Caron Higdon promised that Michigan was going to, you know, basically guaranteed a victory against Ohio State, Mike Weber posts the SpongeBob meme and writes, "I guarantee a victory against Ohio State." And it was the most funny meme I've ever seen. And it was so true because Ohio State ends up smacking Michigan. So Mike Weberman, really underrated Twitter account. Congrats on winning the Cardale Jones Tweeter of the Year award.
Congratulations to all of our winners.
Absolutely. It's just, I like to say, this is probably the most prestigious award you'll ever receive in your life, because the Heisman Committee will never, ever give it to a Buckeye, it seems. So take these bunch of nut awards, do with them what you will, and as always, Big Cass, win the moment and go Bucks.
Yep, go Bucks.